Sun and Fun is billing windstorm victims for moving their planes. The first of the Reno lawsuits has been filed. And GE celebrates a groundbreaking in Alabama. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 2, 2011. The infamous March 31st windstorm that damaged dozens of aircraft and forced the early closing of Sun and Fun on its opening day this year left many individuals with personal losses. Now, organizers of the show are adding insult to injury. Individual aircraft owners who were forced to evacuate Lakeland Linder Airport that day returned the next morning to find that their damaged aircraft had been moved without their knowledge or permission and without allowing them to be present or have the chance to move the planes themselves. Some claim additional damage to their planes was done as organizers worked quickly to hide evidence of the storm. The popular Blue Angels were scheduled to be in the air Friday morning. Now, 7 months later, those same owners report they're getting letters from Sun and Fun expecting payment of more than $2,500 per aircraft for removing all the fuel from the damaged planes and moving them to hangars. Florida has anti-gouging laws in place, prompted by abuses following hurricanes, but it's not clear whether those provisions could be triggered in a case like this. Some of the planes relocated were reportedly still upright, but had their tie-downs cut just to haul them away. One van's RV6 owner related on an internet forum, quote, "None of this was done with my permission. I could have moved the airplane at zero cost." Another responds, "And here I would have only charged you $1,000 to take all your fuel." Still another wonders, maybe it's just that they don't want all those annoying little planes there anymore. GE Aviation Monday hosted a groundbreaking ceremony at the site of its new jet engine components factory in Auburn, Alabama. Governor Robert Bentley, U.S. Representative Mike Rogers, Auburn Mayor Bill Hamm Jr., and Alabama House Speaker Mike Hubbard were among those who joined company executives at the event. The 300,000-square-foot advanced manufacturing plant will produce precision, super-alloy machined parts for GE jet engines that will power future commercial and military aircraft, and also to support the fleet of GE engines already in service. Following the start of construction, the facility is on schedule to open in late 2012. GE says limited hiring will begin next year. Additional hiring is slated for 2013 as production begins to ramp up. GE Aviation says its goal is to employ 300 to 400 people there when the plant is in full operation later this decade. GE Aviation says it selected Auburn in large part because of its access to a skilled workforce and its proximity to Alabama's university system. The facility is expected to develop collaborative relationships with Auburn University and Tuskegee University. This week, GE Aviation will begin recruiting at both campuses. The Auburn groundbreaking ceremony comes on the heels of the supplier symposium that GE Aviation hosted in Tuscaloosa last month, attended by more than 100 Alabama companies. The symposium was held to expand GE's aerospace supplier network throughout Alabama. The first of what will likely be dozens of lawsuits stemming from the September 16th accident at the National Championship Air Races in Reno has been filed by the family of a Texas man killed when Jimmy Leeward's plane went down. The suit was filed in Collin County, Texas. Attorney Tony Busby says the formula they created made an accident inevitable. The Associated Press reports the suit names Texas-based mechanic Richard Schonholzer Jr., the Reno Air Racing Association, members of Leeward's family, Leeward Racing Incorporated, and others, including an aircraft parts manufacturer in Washington State. The suit was filed on behalf of Dr. Sezen Altug, the widow of Craig Salerno, who had been a dispatcher for Continental Airlines as well as a volunteer fireman. Salerno was also an avid racing pilot. Busby said there were two groups of wrongdoers involved in the accident, the risk-takers who pushed the planes past their limits, and the promoters who profited from hosting the show. He also questions the impartiality of the NTSB in investigating the accident, because the Reno Tahoe Airport Authority has lobbyists in Washington with NTSB connections. That's an odd approach since the NTSB's official findings in any event won't be allowed as evidence in a civil trial. Race organizers expect that more lawsuits will be filed. ATK reports it and the U.S. Air Force successfully tested a large-class, 92-inch diameter, Stage 3 solid rocket motor at the Air Force's Arnold Engineering Development Center in Tennessee. The Stage 3 motor is designed to ignite at altitudes in excess of 85,000 feet. In order to accurately test the motor's performance, the static fire was conducted at Arnold using a vacuum chamber specially designed to simulate upper atmospheric conditions. Preliminary data show all channels of data were collected, and performance appears to be within predictions. The Air Force has been tasked with maturing and demonstrating available technologies in a large-class solid rocket motor, and with demonstrating a potential family of motors, which could save the Air Force future development costs in meeting future mission requirements. Still ahead, a NIMBY dispute in Idaho is complicated. Airbus delivers a Hello Kitty edition A330, and another U.S. veteran makes it home for burial with honors. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. Yet another municipality which has taken federal funding to buy land for an airport, then promoted close-by residential development, is wringing its hands over the resulting conflict. But in this case, the protest by NIMBYs has an added dimension, the risk of loss of airline service to the community. Friedman Memorial Airport in Haley, Idaho, serves about 40,000 GA operations a year and also enjoys scheduled regional airline service from SkyWest and Horizon. Airport manager Rick Baird warned the Bellevue, Idaho City Council last week that unless improvements are made to the facility, the airport could lose that commercial service, its economic benefits, and $1.4 million in federal funding. At issue is a group of NIMBYs in Bellevue who are blaming the airport for everything from noise pollution to leukemia cases. They want improvements stopped and a new airport built in an alternate location farther from their homes. At least two possible new locations have been identified, but there are issues with uprooting a protected species there, and costs for a move could reach $300 million, including a $100 million portion required to be paid through a local bond issue. A group of 130 residents aligned against the airport remain adamant that the move needs to happen and have offered suggestions including levying fees on wealthy vacationers who frequent resorts served by the airport. The Idaho Mountain Express reports resident Kate Woods suggested to the city council that owners of second homes in the valley come up with a $100 million. Bellevue resident Guy Pear asked the airport board, "Have you talked to Bruce Willis?" Baird is hoping for incremental improvements to the current airport, noting that lowering the minimum approach ceilings to 1,000 feet could cut diversions by 50%. Most of those diversions currently go to Twin Falls. The Mountain Express reports resident Darcy Cordingly chided the council, quote, "If someone was to put an airport in your backyard, I would hope every one of you would be right where I am, fighting against it with all you have. I will not live in a community that does not care about the members that sustain it," unquote. But Friedman Memorial Airport has been on its current location since the 1930s, suggesting Cordingly probably put her home in the airport's backyard, not the other way around. Jet Options, a Texas-based private jet charter company, has hit on a very unique model for allowing anyone with a computer to schedule his own private jet anywhere in the world. After visiting the company's website and entering the desired departure and arrival airports, the user can choose from a vast list of available jets, using floor plans and images to help decide. It's then a matter of entering payment information and waiting for the aircraft to arrive, which the company says often happens in under 2 hours. Gus Lira, vice president of Jet Options, explains the company's competitive advantage. Quote, "Our difference is the expanse and choice of our network. We've worked solidly to build our aircraft network to over 3,500 jets, everything from small turboprop types right through to luxurious business jets that can seat dozens of passengers. We're also proud of the 5,000 airports we service, allowing access to even the most remote of locations with the same ease as larger cities. We really want to make the system accessible and open to anyone. We've come across online taxi booking systems that are 100 times more complicated than ours. Plus, can they get you to the other side of the world in under 2 hours' notice? Unquote. The Hello Kitty cartoon character has become an icon in Taiwan, and a lot of other places for that matter, with stuffed toys and other marketing expressions now popular for more than 35 years. The character was originally developed for little girls, many of whom are now adults and still love the character based on nostalgia. The latest product to feature a Hello Kitty theme is an Airbus A330, which has been delivered to Taiwan's EVA Air. The aircraft was unveiled last week in Taipei as part of a year-long celebration marking EVA Air's 20th anniversary. Airbus reports the event was attended by 450 guests, including journalists, frequent flyers, and Hello Kitty fans. Called the Magic Jet, it's the first of three A330-300s to be delivered to EVA Air, each of which are to fly with unique Hello Kitty liveries. On board, passengers will be treated to elaborately decorated Hello Kitty cabins and character-themed service items. The first A330 unveiled last week will enter service with EVA Air this week on flights between Taipei and Sapporo in Hokkaido, Japan. It joins a fleet that includes 11 long-range A330-200s flying on the carrier's regional and international route network. And finally today, the Department of Defense POW Missing Personnel Office announced Friday that the remains of another U.S. serviceman missing in action from the Vietnam War have been identified and returned to his family for burial with full military honors. Air Force Colonel Gilbert S. Palmer, Jr. of Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, was buried yesterday in Arlington National Cemetery. He was 37 years old in 1968 when he and one other crew member were carrying out photo reconnaissance of enemy targets over North Vietnam in their RF-4C aircraft. Radio communication was lost, and Palmer's plane crashed in an unknown location. Then in 1999, a U.S. Lao People's Democratic Republic recovery team was taken by a local villager to a crash site in Savannakhet Province. Additional investigations between 2001 and 2010 recovered human remains and military equipment specific to Palmer's aircraft. Mitochondrial DNA, which matched that of Palmer's brother, was used in the identification of the remains. More than 1,600 Americans remain missing from the Vietnam War. More than 900 servicemen have been accounted for from that conflict and returned to their families for burial with military honors since 1973. And if that sounds like a lot, 70,000 U.S. servicemen are still missing from World War II. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.